hungry. We desire to be fed manna from heaven. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that works with and confirms the word. And we thank you, Father, for signs and wonders. We thank you, Father, for each student. We thank you for your plan. And for this service, we call that plan forth in Jesus' name. And Father, we will give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody. Hallelujah. Well, have you been learning anything in these sessions? Me too. It's good to see everyone. We're going to get back into some of the things we've been in, talking about the subject of in the Spirit. you get kind of this place in the session, the week, and you kind of get, you have to start deciding which was most important, what God wants to say, because there's, limited. You start seeing the time coming to an end. But I definitely kind of got something. I was going to move on, and I got something come up in my heart last night. I'm like, oh, whoa, that's good. That helps. But to launch into it, we're going to start in Ephesians 6:18, I believe, would be the best place to start. Hallelujah. We've spent a lot of time laying the foundation of this doctrine in the New Testament, what in the Spirit really means. And we've given, three definitions or something like that? And can anyone give me let's see if we can go through them in order. What's the first one? Definition of being in the Spirit. Okay, we'll teach that again this morning. Yeah, you have to go way back. We started, I'll give you a clue. 1 Corinthians 14:4-14 means doing something out of your spirit by the leading and unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody awake?
Yes.
Second of all, we gave another definition. Can anyone remember the second one?
More aware of the spiritual than the natural.
Amen. Which also includes his solution. More aware of his solution than your problem.
Yes.
Amen. The third one might have been a little, we kind of taught a little different. Maybe we didn't make it real plain. Basically, the first one was more doing something out of your spirit by the leading of the Spirit. And really the third one had to do with as you and I do that, an anointing of the Spirit comes on us, and then we're in the Spirit. And it takes us into the anointing, the flow of the anointing. And then we talked about, I guess you could say, a fourth definition is the being in the Spirit means in the spirit realm. There's a realm beyond the natural realm. It's an unseen realm. It's where God is, Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is, angels are, of course, demons, but we're not interested in them. They pop their head up and we just pop it off.
Yeah.
And we kind of gave those four definitions. Doing something in the Spirit. In the New Testament, we're commanded to pray in the Spirit. We're told to worship God in the Spirit. We're told to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, watch in the Spirit. And the landmark or hallmark truth of the New Testament is we transition from in the flesh to in the Spirit. And so we spent a lot of time talking about that. And we basically went round and round different verses and different, looked at it from different ways in the New Testament. And I today want to start in talking about prayer, but I don't know how far we're actually going to get in the subject of prayer and watching in the Spirit. We're going to sort of introduce it, but in order to get it to really follow what the Spirit's telling me to do concerning prayer, we're going to have to kind of do something to anyway, you'll understand as we go. But Ephesians 6:18, this is one of the things the Bible says we're to do in prayer. Do in the Spirit. 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. in the Spirit. And watching there, I always say there in the Spirit, unto prayer with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So watching is something that we are to do in the Spirit, or praying in the Spirit. Now, this is mentioned, by using this term, it's mentioned about five times in the New Testament. Terms are a little different in different places, but we as believers in the New Testament are to pray in the Spirit. We're to watch and pray, the Bible says. And for years, I didn't understand what watching meant. Well, it's not complicated. I mean, if you think about it. you think of it in the natural. Let's say, you know, I'm friends of your family and you got children and you say, I got to run get groceries. Can you watch the kids or something? Well, then that means you got to keep an eye on them. Isn't that right? And so that means if you get distracted from what they're doing or where they went, then they could go a direction and get hurt or something might happen, you know. So you gotta watch the child, isn't that right? You gotta watch what he gets into. You gotta pay attention. You gotta pay attention to him. And so to watch in the Spirit means to pay attention in the Spirit. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to what God's doing, what God's saying. Pay attention to the direction he's guiding. Pay attention to his plan, which comes from God in the Spirit. Isn't that right? So you have to, it's a term that means to tune in, so to speak. Tune in to what God's saying. And God, of course, the Holy Spirit is how God communicates with us, and he lives in our spirits. That's where we tune in. We tune in to the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Brother Hagin used to call it putting up a spiritual antenna. You know, back in that, in our day, the antennas pretty much stay up all the time on our cars. But it used to be, you know, you turn on your stereo and your antenna came up out of the car, you know, and that's what he meant, putting up your antenna. Because before your antenna went up, you know, you couldn't get the station very well. I mean, you're on the right station, but you can't hear it. You put up the antenna, and all of a sudden it comes in clear. And so that's what Brother Hagin used to call it. It's a term for watching in the Spirit. And really, this era is going to require more and more skill in this. We've got to get good in this. That's what we want to get into as we study. I don't know how much we'll get into it today because of something the Lord's putting in my heart. But let's look at this term. Let's go to Luke. I want you to get some of these terms in your notes. I don't know about you, but while I'm talking, go to Luke 21. I've gone back to my Bible school notes before because many things that were said in Bible school, I mean, there was so much coming. And I was writing things down so fast, I couldn't catch it all. I was just trying to get it all in my notes so I could go back and meditate on it. So I'd like you to get these in your notes. That's why we don't just preach the same way in Bible school sometimes. We kind of take time and get a little more methodical. Get these things in your notes so you can look at them later. Luke 21, verse 36. He said, let's go back to verse 34, actually, to get started. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves. That's the first thing you got to watch over is your own self. Because if you're going to be proven faithful to get into watching over more, you're going to have to be faithful in that which is least in order to get into much. If you can't watch over your own flesh and your own mind and keep it right, you know, then why is God going to give you more to watch over? You know, a congregation to watch over or something like that. So anyway, take heed to yourself. That's the first thing. Lest any time your hearts, so take heed to your spiritual condition. Lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Now that's funny language, but overcharged means burdened down. The Amplified says burdened down, I believe. Overburdened, actually, is the way it says it. Overburdened, your hearts be overburdened with surfeiting. The Amplified says the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence. Amen. And drunkenness, that just means drunken on natural, physical, material things, or your own desires, your own lust of your flesh, and cares of this life, amen, so that day come upon you unawares. That day come upon you unawares. So what he's saying is, take heed to your spiritual condition and make sure you're not living full of care, make sure you're not living in the flesh, you know, just and so forth. Because he said, in this case, that day can come upon you unawares. In other words, what that does is it makes you insensitive to timing of spiritual things. You don't know what time it is. You don't know what to do. You don't know spiritual things and timing and so forth. Then he said, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And watch ye therefore, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, look at the term watch and pray. That's what I wanted you to get out of verse 36. He's puts together the terms watch and pray. And I want to show you some of this in the New Testament so we can get into what God's telling me to share with you. But circle the word, verse 36, circle the word watch ye therefore. And then he said pray always. So circle the word watch and circle the word pray. Because there's a kind of prayer we need to do called watching. And actually, as we go through this, you'll find this. One of these verses, it'll be make it clear that what we do is we watch unto prayer. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Again, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass to stand before the Son of Man. I was reading this one time and the Spirit of God said to me that you may have what it takes to escape all this. Or in other words, that you'd have the spiritual wherewithal. You know, there's nothing worse than coming up to a test or a trial and you just don't have what it takes. There's nothing worse than coming to a problem and situation in life and you reach down on the inside for a reserve and come up with a fistful of nothing. I mean, that's disheartening. I've seen people that don't pay attention to their spiritual condition. They don't get in church enough. They just kind of live into themselves and everything's going along fine. But they hit a hard spot and they go to reach for their faith and it just didn't there. They just don't have what it takes. And so Satan took advantage of that and stole from them. Well, that's what he's talking about. Don't let that happen. Pay attention to your spiritual condition. You know, Matthew 7, Jesus said that one of the things there, 24, verse 24 down through 26, so forth, Matthew 7, he talked about he said the people that, hear my words and do them, they're like a man who builds his house on the rock, remember? And then whoever hears and doesn't do is like a man builds his house on the sand. Flood and the storm came to both of them, one was destroyed and the other one wasn't, remember that? Well, it wasn't whether the storm came or not that determined whether they stood. It was what they did before the storm. Amen. It's what you do before the storms of life. And it's never wise to just sort of lop along, you know, just sort of being spiritually lazy and kind of tuned out to what God's saying to you because the devil will see that and he'll take advantage of that. He's an opportunist. He doesn't have the right to do it, but he'll take advantage of opportunity. So he said here, watch and pray so that you have what it takes, that you have what it takes to escape. That reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you ever read that verse, with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. No temptation taking you, but what's common to man. God will make a way out. But listen, if you or I are not tuned in spiritually, we won't be able to see or know how to get out of that situation. We won't be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Because it's not just a matter of point to a verse, you know, let the Bible fall open, point to a verse and stand on that. It's a matter of being led on how to go. Amen. All right, so that's one verse, and we could take a lot of time on this, but we're just getting to another thing here. Matthew 26, go to Matthew 26. Again, Jesus said something similar. Matthew 26, 41. He came to his disciples and found them asleep. This is whenever he was getting ready to go to the cross. They were getting ready to come arrest him. He found them asleep and said unto them, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Whew. Boy, have I ever used that verse a lot of different times. You know, there's some things that you won't even, there's some things you'll be able to avoid if you'll pay attention. Because the devil will set the trap and you'll see it. And you'll be ready for it. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. In other words, you fall for it. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, again, the term is used here, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be alert. Pay attention spiritually. He's not talking about alert in the natural realm. We have to be alert in the natural realm. I mean, you know, if you're driving, you got to pay attention to traffic. And, you know, you just have to. But he's talking about spiritually. He's talking about stay tuned up. Stay tuned in. Stay sharp spiritually. Stay aware. Because the Holy Ghost will get you ready for anything the devil's getting ready to do. He'll have you way ahead of the devil. Amen. I remember a number of years ago, I think about 2 years ago, I couldn't see what it was, but in prayer, I kept seeing something was going to try to rise up out of the congregation. And I couldn't get a full revelation of what it was, but I'd get in the spirit and I'd see it's going to try to rise up, and I'd say, no, you don't. And I didn't even know what it was, but I'm addressing it before it even tries to pop its head up. Right. No, you don't. And that happened over maybe about a year's period of time. And I never got revelation of what it was. I didn't sense it was like a strife, or if the Lord wanted to reveal it, he would have, but I had enough. I could tell something was trying to come, and I kept, no, you don't. And that went on, like I said, for maybe a year. And it came probably now almost a year ago. It came into the congregation. I saw what it was. For there was a man started coming to the church. Well, he was a man, but he was dressed like a woman. And, you know, we're open to help anybody that wants help. But not if they don't want help. Some people are there for different reasons. Some people aren't sent by God. Some are sent by the devil. And I didn't judge him by the flesh. I checked my spirit. I'm like, no, he's not here. And so I went and I checked up on him and found out, because I found out he was known in the community, the church world in my town. And so I found out that he was not there to get deliverance or be free. He was there. He and his big thing was, no Christians have any love because they don't accept me. I'm not a man. I'm a woman. I'm dressing like a woman because I'm a woman in a man's body, and all this demons. That's demons. Tell your neighbor that. Don't get confused about this. This is demons. And so, but his big thing was not, I need to be delivered. His thing was, he didn't even believe he was in bondage. He just wanted somebody to accept him as he is. Well, see, you let those demons in the church and all of a sudden miracles will stop like that. We're not here to accommodate people. We're here to occupy a place in the spirit. Amen. There was a man in the church at Corinth who wanted to live in perversion. And Paul didn't say, well, you know, he needs help. He needs to go to church somewhere. No, he said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. So anyway, you know, there's different situations. You've got to be led by the Spirit in each one of them. But I knew he wasn't there for to be free. Well, then I knew I needed to address him and tell him he's not welcome here. But I needed to get some legal advice first. Because, I mean, you can cause more problems by doing something wrong here, you know. I'm going to get him out. I'm going to do it by the Spirit. But I need to make sure I have the knowledge of the legal side. Because, you know, nowadays they try to make you let these people in your church, you know, he's a man dressed like a woman, so now he's able to go, they're trying to tell us he's able to go into the woman's restroom, you know. And so I need to not create any legal lawsuits here. I need to, you know, we need to be smart too. Amen. I think some Christians thought when God was handing out brains, he said trains, and they said, no, thank you, I don't need any. But... Amen. Stay awake. So I decided I'm calling a lawyer before I talk to this guy. I'm going to talk to him. I don't have any problem. I'm not putting off talking to him. I'm just going to get some wisdom here. So we got all the advice and made sure we could legally do everything. Now, I was going to do it regardless, but I just wanted to not cause myself trouble. You understand? So I got all the lawyer's advice, and it was good. He was so good. He's a good guy. But he said, and so we addressed it. In the next service, he came back. He wanted to go into the ladies' restroom. And so we did exactly what the lawyer said and everything. And boy, he got mad. I say he because we addressed him as a he. And no, I'm not a he. I'm a she. We said, Mister, I'm not going to participate in your confusion by calling you a woman, you know. And, you know, they try to get all upset about that, but that's their problem. Let the devils go, eek, not me, you know. So, anyway, to make a long story even longer, I realized at the time that's what was going to try to get in the church. Not so much the perversion, because I'd address that, but he wanted to bring the devil wanted to try to bring a lawsuit against us, you know, spread it. You know what the news media likes to do? They like to grab onto those situations and talk about it on national news for 3 weeks. And I'm shutting that down. That ain't going to happen. He threatened to sue and all that. I said, go ahead. You know, we know you have no rights. And he got distracted by his sex change operation and forgot to sue us, you know, so. That's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. We dealt with it in the spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what is that? It's called watching over it. Watching over the congregation. Hallelujah. God will keep you ahead of anything the devil's trying to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I love operating in the Spirit because it makes me a master in every situation. I cannot be defeated. Hallelujah. 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 Already preached myself happy. So, watching. Remember what I said? I kept seeing it in the Spirit. I kept seeing it. I don't mean with my physical eyes, but you know, there's a lot more to that story, but it's all fine. I'll tell you one more part of that story. How many of you like, I'll tell you a little something. It'll be a teaching moment for you. So that man was in our service twice. Maybe there was a third time there. But anyway, two or three times. I think it was twice. And both times during the service, actually, I think it was kind of like right at the beginning of the service, my youth minister's daughter, she was probably at that time going on 4 years old, something like that, in the service turned around and saw him and turned over to Mommy and said, Mommy, why is there a naked man in our church? Isn't that interesting? God showed her that it was an unclean spirit. That's what that manifestation means. That's an unclean spirit. Amen. Interesting. Put it in your. Just remember that. Just remember that. She wasn't. She's just real sensitive spiritually. Amen. Well, anyway, some of you are looking at me funny. I'll move on. Matthew 26:41. Watch ye therefore and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know the devil wants to set traps for you. But if you'll be alert spiritually, you'll be on top of it. You'll be in front of it. Ha, ha, ha. Nice try, devil. Amen. You ever read that verse over in Psalm? You need to write this down. If you've never seen this verse, this will bless you. I use this. I get to laughing drunk on this one sometimes. Go to Psalm 21. I think it's 21. I haven't turned there in a while. Yeah. Psalm 21, verse 11. Psalm 21, verse 11, they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they were not able to perform. Why? Because the Holy Ghost showed it up. Ha, ha, ha. You need to. Sometimes whenever the devil comes against me in some area of my life, I'll quote that verse. You intended it, but you can't perform it. Remember, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I always say he can form it, but he can't perform it. I mean, he gets everything locked, cocked, and ready to shoot, but he shoots and it goes down like that. Just, he can't do anything. He's defeated. Why? Because I watch. I pay attention. And I deal with it. Ha, ha, ha. So, anyway, Matthew 26:41 is a verse that talks about watching and praying. There's so much. We could spend a week just on watching and praying. But another one, like I just gave you, Ephesians 6:18. If you're putting down these in a list, write that one down. But go then to 1 Peter 4:7. Now, when we say watch, what are we talking about? In the Spirit. We're talking about watching in the Spirit. 1 Peter 4. This is an element of your prayer life. 1 Peter 4, it tells us in verse number 7. I really need to start using my new Bible, but I just can't. You know, everything's falling apart. You know, I got everything written in here, you know. I'm like, I can't start using my new Bible. All right, 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. That's stating something Ephesians 6:18 said. What did it say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto, King James says. Watch there in the Spirit unto prayer. Says it in 1 Peter 4, same thing. Sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. There is a kind of prayer where you're just tuning in to see what you need prayed about. Do you get that? That's a huge statement for getting today. There is a kind of prayer where you're just tuning in to see what needs to be prayed about. In other words, you're tuning into the Spirit. You're tuning into the Holy Spirit in your spirit and seeing what needs to be prayed about. Because your mind doesn't know everything that needs to be prayed about. There are things that need to be prayed about your mind doesn't know yet. But you get over in the Spirit and the Spirit knows it. And he'll have you praying on things that just 3 minutes ago you never had. You never thought about it a day of your life. But here you are praying in the Spirit and an amazing unction praying about something you didn't even know needed to be praying about. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's another verse. And we're going to spend more time on this. We're just going to get to this more detail about watching later. I'm just laying a foundation for what we do need to get to today. Go to write this down also, Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2. Pastor Nancy has used this verse often. It's a tremendous blessing. Colossians 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch in prayer, you could say, with thanksgiving. And she's often referred to this, talking about how to, continue. Because notice that word, verse 2, continue in prayer. She's talked about continuing to keep thanking God for it. Amen. And so, but these are just some of the verses. We'll spend some more time, I think tomorrow we'll spend some more time in this. But what I want to get into today is what the Spirit of God started talking to me about last night, and that is that the enemy has strategies against us doing this. He has strategies. And we want to look at some of that today. Is that all right? Because why does, if you'll, well, As you move more and more into flowing with the Holy Spirit, whether it be in prayer or whatever, however, you know, we've talked about many things we do in the Spirit. But as you move more and more into it, you're going to encounter opposition you've never entered before. You've never encountered before. All sorts of things will start to try to flare up, whether it be through family, you know, or just attacks, against bombardments against your mind. Remember 1 Corinthians 16:9, you remember that verse, Paul said there's an open door and many adversaries. When you go through the doors into the Spirit, remember yesterday we were talking about launching pads, and you start using praise and worship or these different things we mentioned as launching pads to get over and launch over into the flow of the Spirit, you'll find opposition come against you, because Satan doesn't want us to do this. He wants to hold us in the natural, where we're limited. He doesn't want us to become who we really are in Christ by moving into the Spirit and operating in the power and flow of the Holy Spirit. Because that's where people get their help. That's where you get your help for your own life, and that's also where you bring the cry of help to others. Write down Philippians 1:19. I believe most of you probably know that verse. In that list there where it talks about their, we gave you that list about watching and praying. Philippians 1:19 says, Paul's talking about him being in jail. He said, I know this will turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's a kind of prayer that makes in the Spirit that makes a supply of the Spirit to ministers or whoever we're praying for, family maybe, something like that. And that supply of the Spirit is opposed. Satan doesn't want you and I getting over into the Spirit and making that supply. He wants us to stay in our minds and try to do it all out of our minds. And so what he'll do is he'll bring all sorts of opposition, tests and trials. He'll stir up money problems. He'll stir up family members who are carnal. He'll try to get into your life with strife. He'll try to do all kinds of stuff. Let's try to attack your body. And the whole thing he's trying to do is keep you in the flesh. Keep you in the mind. To keep you from entering the spirit realm. Amen? Because you get over there, you're going to start making a supply of the Spirit. And he can't stand that. That's what whoops him. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's going to fight you going there. Because that's the realm you can bless humanity from. When you go into the Spirit, he's standing right there. He wants to go in with you and oppose you and make you ineffective in the Spirit. And we're going to spend some time on this today. Because if you don't know that, you'll think you're doing something wrong. And, and sometimes people back out of it because, well, I don't know why I'm doing something wrong, I guess. And they'll back out of it. Exactly what he wanted you to do is back out of it. Amen. So, whenever I was a kid, I grew up on a farm, and we had many different, through the years of growing up, several different dogs. And one dog was my favorite dog as a kid. It was a Norwegian Elkhound. I don't know if you've ever heard of those kinds of dogs. They're just sweet dogs. They look like a little husky. They got that tail that goes around like that, curls, up on their back. They're real pretty dogs. This dog was... Well, it was the family dog, but it really became my dog. I ran the fields with it. She'd find a ground squirrel hole and start digging. I'd root her on, man. Don't rob that from any kid that gets a chance, man. But anyway, that dog was an outside dog. We lived on the farm, and Mom and Dad didn't want the dog in the house. But one Thanksgiving, I believe it was Thanksgiving, we prevailed on Dad to let us let the dog in the house one time. And we gave it food, put a tray out, gave it food. From then on, whenever we went through that door to go into the house, where was that dog standing? Yeah. Right there. And he wanted to go in with us. That's the way it is moving in the Spirit. When you go in, Satan's right there. He wants to go in there with you and mess it all up. That's what he wants to do. But we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen? And so you, when you enter into the Spirit, you start conducting business on God's level. And you're much more effective in the Spirit than you are in the flesh. In fact, in the flesh, the Bible said the flesh profits nothing. And so he's going to have to, Satan's going to try to oppose that. Amen? Amen. You remember Ephesians 6:18 is after Ephesians 6:10 through 17? I don't know if you've ever looked at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. You know, 10 through 17 is before 18. I'm trying to keep some of you awake this morning. If you Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer, is after 10 through 17, which is all about the armor of God. In other words, to go into prayer, to do verse 18, he tells you get ready for it by getting the armor on, because Satan's going to oppose you in this. Amen. Listen to this. This is out of Brother Hagin's book called, it's Triumphant Church, actually. And it says here, talking about the shield of faith, Brother Hagin said, the shield of faith is used in everyday life and also in your prayer life. While you're praying, the devil will send every kind of fiery dart to your mind to get your attention diverted, to keep you from staying in faith. You'll have to quench every one of those of his fiery darts with the shield of faith in God's word. Then you also need to know that the shield of faith is for your everyday life. And he goes on talking about, using it in your everyday life. But I wanted you to see that statement. While you're praying, the devil will send every kind of fiery dart to your mind to get your attention diverted, to keep you from staying in faith. Well, that's why he said, before he said, pray and always with all prayer, that's why he said, take this armor. Take this armor. And so we have to be knowledgeable of that. Amen? Praise God. What is the armor for? It's for protection in your prayer life. One of the things is the helmet of salvation. I mean, one of the things that the devil uses to pull us out of the Spirit is to bombard our mind with thoughts. You ever gotten into the Spirit and the devil's right there? He's trying to say, now this today, you got to do this today, this today. And you're like, shut up, I'm praying, you know. What is that? Why didn't that just, it's because he's trying to pull you back out of that. Amen. Amen. And so the armor is for protection in your prayer, life. Hallelujah. And you need to be, what he's saying in Ephesians 10 through 17 there in Ephesians 6, is you need to be dressed for prayer. And we're not talking about shoes, coat and tie or something. We're talking about in the Spirit, putting on this armor of God. Amen? Why? What's the object of putting on the armor of God? So that you can enter the Spirit in prayer and be protected. In other words, so that you can stay in there and get the job done and not be pulled out by all the distractions of the enemy. The main arena he fights you is in the mind. The reason these things come against your mind is to get you in your mind rather than in the Spirit. Are we making any sense? So when you go to get into God's realm, you not only get God's attention, but you get the devil's attention. And he's going to try to oppose that. So really when God starts moving, the devil starts moving too, because he's trying to mess that up. So don't be ignorant about Satan's devices. Get real good at watching and praying and being alert in the Spirit and not distracted by the thoughts and bombardments of the enemy. Get real good at that. Become real skilled at that. And you'll be actually somebody who's able to not only enter the Spirit, but stay there and get the job done and then come out whenever the job's done. Because he wants to pull us out before we get the job done. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're learning. So we need to recognize this as a device and not just a fault on our part. You know, sports teams, before they play a team, is the Super Bowl this Sunday? I'm so tuned out of that right now. I'm sure all week this week, those teams are watching one another on video. They're watching one another. They're paying attention to their strategies, right? Well, that's what the enemy does to you. When you start going into the spirit, he's watching and he's got a strategy to try to get you out of that. So we're not ignorant of that. Now, we're not afraid of it either. We say these things not to make us devil conscious, but to just be aware of his strategies. We are to quench every one of his devices, every fiery dart. When he throws at us to pull us out of the spirit, we're to quench every single one of them. And so he attacks the mind a lot of times, or he'll bring tests and trials in the flesh to try to hold us in the flesh. And so we need to be good at not allowing that to happen. I've conducted, Dean Graves was talking about it first morning at Rhema. We were leading one of the prayer groups that they had, many prayer groups on the campus. My wife and I led one of them. And through the years there and then at church and in different situations, we've led a lot of prayer groups. And I found that sometimes when the prayer group comes together, you just can't get into prayer right away with them. Because they came in opposed by the enemy. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. One of the things, we'll get into this next hour, I think, more in detail. But one of the things that sometimes that you got to get off of them before you can ever get in the spirit. In fact, let's go there. We'll introduce this in this session and then launch into it in the next session. Go over to Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll just introduce this. In verse 16, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. So notice the context of what he's about to say was being cleansed from sin. Having, verse 19, having therefore, in other words, because of verse 16 and 17 and 18, having therefore, brethren, boldness. In other words, because we don't have a sin consciousness anymore. Because of that, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. He's talking about getting into the Spirit in the presence of God. And he's saying the reason we have boldness is because of the blood that cleansed us from all sin. And I told you earlier, I've conducted many prayer groups. Sometimes I'm aware they came in with a lot of sin consciousness on them today or something, you know, they're real distracted by the cares of life or something. And you gotta get them past that in order to get them into the Spirit. So sometimes you don't come to prayer just, well, we're going to get in the Spirit now. You got to go through the doors into the Spirit. And sometimes the door in is just the blood. And it's always the blood, but I'm simply saying sometimes people are being opposed with sin consciousness, and so they got to go, to get into the Spirit, they got to go in through the blood. We got to sit here and talk about how we've been washed in the blood, our sins are forgiven, and so forth and so on, before we're going to get in, because right now the emotional state of some of the people that came to pray and the spiritual condition is they're all sin conscious. Amen. They had a fight with their wife before church, and you know... Amen. And I've watched people sit in the prayer group. They usually bring a supply, but that day they're sitting on the outside watching everybody else go in. And you talk to them later, I couldn't enter in today. I had a fight with my wife. I've been in that situation. Amen. Well, they're going to have to go through the door of the blood. And so Satan's opposing them by trying to hold them in the flesh and trying to keep them out of the Spirit. Am I making any sense? Yes. Praise God for the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:1, it says, now therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are going to walk and press into the Spirit have to know now there is no condemnation. Amen. Amen. If you've missed it, get it under the blood. Say now. Amen. You don't only need to go into prayer, you know, with scriptures about what you're going to stand in faith for, but you're going to have to go to prayer with scriptures on your right standing with God and no condemnation and the blood of Jesus purges my conscience from all guilt and sin consciousness. Amen? Hallelujah. I like 1 John 4:16. You can write this down. 1 John 4:16 says, "We have known and believed the love that God hath towards us." It's not enough just to know it. You got to believe it. Praise God. Knowing it is good, but you got to sometimes use your faith to get the devil off of you about what you know. Amen. Go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And chapter number 12, verse 10 through 11. "I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come and strengthen the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." They loved not their lives to the death. They overcame him in this context is not just the devil in general, although you can overcome him in general, but overcoming him in this case is his accusing, you know. That's whenever he accuses. The accuser, verse 10 says, "The accuser of our brethren is cast down." That's Satan, the accuser of the brethren, "which accused them before our God day and night." Now, you might want to pay attention to that word, "before our God." He's talking about you going before your God, and he said, "Satan goes with you."
Yeah. That's good.
What? What's he there for? To accuse you? Say, "You're not worthy. Who do you think you are? You can't pray. You know what you've done. You know how bad you've been. You know where you've missed it." Yeah, I can see some of you are remembering sometimes that's happened because we've all been there. "You can't pray today. You know, you've messed up over here. You got angry at your wife. You this and that." Well, the only way you're going to overcome him is by the blood. Well, not, excuse me, that's not the only way. Not only the blood, but also faith in the blood.
Amen.
Faith in the blood. So what the Lord stopped me about last night, it took me an hour to get to it. I was going to get into some other things. He said, "No, come back to this." What he stopped me about was, I mentioned all the launching pads into the Spirit. He said, you can't let off this one. You have to. Sometimes they have to come through the blood. The blood, emphasizing what the blood has done for us, how it's redeemed us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their... In other words, whenever they went into the presence of God, they went through the blood because the accuser of the brethren was standing right there saying, "You can't get into the Spirit. Who do you think you are?" You go to pray, you go into the presence of God, you're going to have the blood as a launching pad to get in there, but not just that. One more thing. Faith in the blood. That's what he meant by they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They came in speaking the word about the blood. Amen.
Amen.
That's what Hebrews was talking about there, having boldness to enter in. And so we'll get into that as we progress in the next hour. Can you handle some more of that? One of the greatest enemies of faith. One of the greatest enemies of entering into the Spirit, using your faith to enter into the Spirit, is condemnation. "You're not worthy. Who do you think you are? You've missed it so many times. You failed." And the devil will just remind you and remind you and remind you, and you're going to have to get past that, because that's an adversary. And that's a strategy of the enemy to keep you out of the Spirit. Amen? We'll give you a 10-minute break.